I'm very thankful for the Spirit of God here tonight. Welcome, yeah. Brother Chijoki and Sister Iffy. See them here, and God bless them. Brother Mark and Sister Rita, just coming in, and we are thankful that God brought you here safely.
Amen.
You know, when we think of the testimony of many of us traveling down here to come to this place, brethren have had to pass through Texas, through Dallas, where tornadoes were, and so many people died, and God brought us safely here. And there's a purpose in which He has brought you and me. There's something God wants to do here that's very special this week. And I believe that even this morning as we began, that the Lord has already ordered the battle. He's wanting to come for a bride without spot or blemish. And He's called us to be part of the First Fruit Company, to be part of the bride company that will meet God at midnight. And as we were beginning the night, we began that song, When the Bridegroom Comes, you know, that we would be ready. And I'd like us to go to Matthew 25. And I'd like to talk to us about the parable, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Now, it's not something that is new to many of you. In fact, many of you have probably heard and read this parable hundreds of times. Hallelujah. But I believe that if God has something that He wants to speak to us tonight, which I am trusting God will do, that there is an impartation that is needed for me, and I believe for each and every one of us. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
And you know, it's not just it's just not relegated to adults. In fact, you children that are here, that God has a provision for you. God has a plan for you, children, along with the adults. I am reminded in the Old Testament that when the appointed times that Israel was to gather before the Lord, it was not just the adults, but it was the children as well. There was a place that they came together. And I believe that in this place, in this convention hall here, it was said tonight, there's something that each one of us needs. We all have the same similar need. We need Jesus. Amen? We need His life. Now, our circumstances and situations are very different. Maybe some are similar. But the fact is that we have one common thing that's bringing us together here, and that is the Spirit of God. Amen. And whether you have walked with the Lord 50 years or you walk with the Lord 1 year, whether you're 50 or one, we still need the Spirit of God to work within the recesses of our being. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, five amens.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
When we were singing that song, Hosanna in the Highest, that word Hosanna, well, its meaning is, oh, save.
Yes.
Oh, save.
Yes.
Huh? And God is in the saving business. And He's wanting to save me from me. He wants to impart into me His presence, but in order for that presence to get in me, something has to get out of me. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that Hosanna has another meaning. It is one of extreme devotion to God. Hallelujah. Do you remember when they said Hosanna? It was when Christ was entering into Jerusalem and they were laying down and they were saying, "You are the King. Hosanna in the highest." Hallelujah. "Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I just believe tonight, Lord, as we are here, that most important, Your presence is here. And God, You know the need of every individual in this room. God, You know our raising up in the morning. You know our laying down at night. You know all the things that we walk through. And yet, Lord, You gave us a promise. You said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. So, Father, we thank You that even when we are not faithful, You are faithful. And Lord, even when we falter and stumble and even make a mess of ourselves, You are merciful. And You are loving to come and to cleanse us and to forgive us and to cause us to rise up so that we can walk uprightly and be a blessing in Your sight and in the sight of our brethren. So we're asking tonight, God, even in the impartation as we worship You, Lord, that You would encourage us in the midst of the battle, that we will not submit to the devil. We will not give way to the whisper, to the accuser of the brethren, but rather we will hear the voice of God and walk therein. We believe it and we receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are going to Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." And you know that word likened is meaning to be like or to resemble, or what I like in the word, in the definition, it says to become similar to. Huh? Because when we talk about the kingdom of God and when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, He wasn't pulling off little pictures from far off. He was speaking what was in the Spirit. And in the Spirit was, He was saying, the kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins. All right. The number 10 is the number of divine law, is it not? And there is a position that when we are called to God, God calls us to be part of His bride, right? So He calls us to become a virgin. And He calls many. It says, the Bible says, many are what? Called, but few are chosen. So there were 10 virgins. It says the kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay? All right. Now, lamps, we know, is speaking about our spirit. We are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? And so, all the virgins had lamps, right? Amen? Do you have a lamp? Do you have a lamp? All right. We all have lamps, right? So we're likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and we went forth to meet the bridegroom. How many of us are wanting to go forth and meet the bridegroom? Amen? I'm wanting to meet the bridegroom. Huh? I've been wanting to meet the bridegroom for a long time. Hallelujah. And it says, now here's the line of demarcation, maybe I could say. It says here that, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Okay. Let's look at wise is first. Let me ask before I say that. How many of us want to be foolish virgins? Raise your hands. All right, nobody wants to be a foolish virgin. How many want to be wise? Okay, we're all raising our hands. Amen. Okay, well, wise. What is the difference between a wise? It is somebody who is discreet, has a cautious character. Hallelujah. Wisdom comes from above, right? How many of us want to walk in wisdom? How many of you ever asked God for wisdom? How many of you ever asked God a lot of times for wisdom? Huh? I've asked many, 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 many times, God, give me wisdom. Why would I ask for wisdom? Because I know I need it. I know I need it. I know that I lack wisdom. And I know that wisdom isn't something I was born with. It was something that comes from God. And so it talks also that wisdom, it denotes practical skill. And a certain type of mental requirement, you know, to move when we think of wisdom. So now, five of these were wise, and five were foolish. Now, I see nobody raised their hands that they were foolish. And I was looking at this one day, and, you know, I typed it up in my Greek here. Someone put in there, heedless, and forgive me, but this is what they're saying, dull. Have any of you ever been dull? I've been dull. You know, don't get, you know, what's understanding, what's going on. You know, the apostles were very dull at times. Wasn't it? When Jesus says, you know, oh ye little faith, he goes, and slow of hearing, slow of understanding. He goes, don't you understand the principles of God? Huh? So here it says it's dull, or it even says stupid. I don't know who wrote this, but, you know, when I read it, I go, oh my goodness, he's being sort of an American way of saying, you know, not very nice things about being foolish. In fact, you know what else it says? It says, morally a blockhead. A blockhead. You know, we would say that, we'd laugh about people. But you know, what does God think of foolish virgins? Huh? God help us. I don't want to be known to be a blockhead. I don't want to known to be stupid or you know, void of understanding. I don't want to be found at the end of the day that God says, you're a foolish virgin. No. There's something that I need. Now it says here, five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Hallelujah. The foolish had their lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now, we know that the oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish, and all the virgins had lamps. Now, all I can equate when I'm thinking of right now is something that God did with me, and I believe He's done with all of you. One, He's given you an ear to hear. Hallelujah. You would not be in this room today if God did not give you an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I remember a number of years ago, the Lord gave me a dream where Brother Duciel had a brown paper bag, and in the paper bag were golden earrings. And he went around and he took a golden earring and he put it on the right of people's ears. And as soon as it came upon them, they began to hear. Hallelujah. Isn't that marvelous? You want a golden earring, Sophie? Right there, huh? To hear the Spirit of God? Amen. You know, it's the apostolic word. It's an understanding of what God is doing in this hour. Hallelujah. And, you know, as I'm watching it, it was a great blessing. But you know what? I saw some in the dream take it off and look at it, and they said, I'm not hearing anything. And they put it back in the bag. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to hear, and it's another thing to do. I was thinking of the anointing of the priest, Aaron and his sons, and the blood was to be applied to what? The ear, the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe. So, and it's not just to hear. I mean, we begin to hear. All of us begin to hear. But how many of us are challenged to begin to put our hands to the plow and to walk it out? It's not as easy, is it? Huh? Isn't that true? We hear the Word of God, and we're blessed, and we say yes and amen, right? Didn't the children of Israel do it? But, you know, they were proven out in their individual walks whether that which they said was the thing that became a reality to them. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I remember as a young Christian and first being saved, hearing God and knowing that it was the living God that was speaking to me. And it was something that was so, so very marvelous. It was able to change me irrevocably. I don't know how to say that.
Irrevocably.
All right, you said it. Good. I'm not going to repeat it. I'll still mess it up. But it changed me forever. It changed my way and my desires because, you know, not because like a religious upbringing, okay, now I know, between bad and good and I should be good and not bad. No, it was because the presence of God came to me and all of a sudden He was real. He was alive. He was someone that loved me and was very near to me. You know, all 27 years of my life beforehand, there was a God somewhere out there, and I had no idea who He is, or that I realized that He knew who I was, or that I even knew what His nature and character was, until I became born again. And I knew then His love, because why? He forgave all my sins. He forgave everything that was so evil in my soul that only God could take away. And so this very God, this loving God that came to me and began to walk with me as I began to call upon His name, He was there and He was working. And that was just my born again experience. Hallelujah. I didn't know nothing about God. Hallelujah. We had no upbringing, in a religious system that just taught about things that were 2,000 years and in traditions and in errors that had nothing to do with the Word of God. But the Word of God began. No, God is a living Word, not just this written Word, but He is the living Word. And He began to speak to me and began to make Himself so real, you know, because I had never read the Bible that much. All we heard was when we were in the Roman Catholic Church, they would get up and they would read a little paragraph in the Gospels, and then they would read a little something in the Epistles. Had no idea how they all connected. No, knew nothing about it. And yet, God in Himself comes to me, comes to my wife, and begins to teach us about right and wrong. The Spirit of God began to move. Hallelujah. And that was just being saved. That was just receiving the blood. Of course, you know, it says the life is in the blood. So God's blood that comes to me was His life. Hallelujah. But there was something that God, you know, and when you become a child of God, you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I couldn't get enough of God. Huh? Wouldn't that be right, Ike? Can't get enough of God. He comes to you in such a way that it's God. And all other things in the world doesn't matter anymore. You just know that the great Creator has become your Savior and you want more of Him. And you want more of Him. And you know what? It's all God. Because it wasn't me that was hungering. It was God's Spirit creating an appetite in me to want more of God. Hallelujah. To the point that God wanted to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to draw a picture here. We're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. So when I became born again, Jesus brought His blood. And brought His blood and touched my soul, amen, with His blood. And my soul, which was once dead in sin and trespasses, was now made alive through His blood. Huh? Here I was, a walking man, having a soul, but yet I was dead. I was dead to the kingdom of God. I was dead to anything of righteousness. Huh? I could still love. I mean a phileo love. Huh? I could still think. I could still do all the things. But yet my soul was dead. That means there was no relationship between my soul and God. Until God comes to me. Huh? It wasn't me coming to God. God first came to me. It says that no man comes to the Father except for first He draws him. Can we thank God for that tonight? That He draw you and me while we were yet unlovable. It says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huh? So, Johanna, while God came to your parents before you were even born, when you were born, God's plan came for you too. Huh? Because when you were born in sin and trespasses. And God's responsibility is to make Himself known to you that you might reach out and receive His life. Hallelujah. That's why it's so wonderful, brethren, when people are born again. Huh? Come on. Born again. Huh? Born again. We go to the nursing home. You know, it's a great thing when you see somebody who's 87 years old come to the kingdom of God for the first time. Hallelujah. It says that when one sinner repenteth, what it is, isn't it? It says all heaven rejoices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should be rejoicing.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. All heaven rejoice when you ask Jesus into your life, Bibby. Hallelujah. Brother Mark, Sister Sherry, all of us. When we received Christ, we received His blood. We received His life. And that life brought us to such a translation. It says that God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, I became born again and my soul became alive. My soul became alive. His blood made my soul alive unto God. I was once separated from God with all the sins that I was born in. And all the sins that I had submitted myself to. Can you imagine the burden of sin that was upon me and upon you? Not only the sins of my fathers, but all the sins I committed from the time I was a youth and submitting to these spirits. I had no way that no one would be able to save me but God. Amen? And yet God in His love and His mercy reached out and made Himself known to me that I said, God, come in, forgive my sins, make me alive unto You. And His blood made my soul alive. Hallelujah. But that was just the beginning, because God put such an appetite into you and me that He is required to do something about that. Right? Isn't that right? It says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Not maybe, but must be filled. That means it's a requirement of God that if a soul has been born again and is crying out, huh, for life, for food, God's requirement is to do it. It's to fill you. Why? Jesus said, He says, He spoke to the brethren and to the people, and He says, what good father? He says, if a child would ask for a stone, for bread, would He give him a stone? No. And He says, and what if a child came up and says, I want an egg? Would He give him a serpent? No. A scorpion? He goes, and how much will your heavenly Father give of the Holy Ghost to those who ask? Huh? We were talking this morning about that progression. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You know, that's not just a one-time thing. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be knocking. Hallelujah. And I believe that as we are asking God this week, is anybody in here are without any need? I mean, do you feel right now at this very moment you have everything you need? Huh? Or do you have a real need before God? Huh? Do you have a real need before God, Judy?
For me?
Yeah. Yes. So ask. And He says, you shall receive. Huh? Seek and you shall find. You know, brethren, just think. If we are asking and we're seeking this week, what do you think God's going to do? Huh? What do you think He's going to do? Is He going to close the door to us? No. You know, There is a scripture when Brother Bert was ministering this morning, and it's out of Isaiah 45, and it says, ask of me concerning my sons. Ask of me. How many of you are sons of God? Huh? Huh? Aren't we sons of God? Born again? Huh? Huh? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But this we know, that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Okay, let's go back to this parable of the virgins. Now, I was sharing about the born again spirits, but there was something that came to me, and I believe to a lot of you as a very young Christian, was not only the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And you know, there was a very simple and yet very profound revelation that is coming or has come to the people of God in this hour, and that is the saving of the soul. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember picking up the pattern several months after we were born again. We were going through, and it was a wonderful thing to be saved, but we found out that God's church had many different people, and many people were scattered all over. Many people were in denominations and thoughts and different doctrines and everything, and yet God in His mercy and His love brought to us, hallelujah, the apostolic word. So within several months, a pattern was put into our hands after we were saved. Sue and me, what were we, 27, Sue? We were young and had a little less gray hair, right, honey? Huh? A little less weight? Huh? And actually, I was very skinny in those days. But, you know, God comes to us. Yeah, by faith. God comes to us and opens up to us something much deeper in the hour that we were born again, that brought us into a greater dimension of God than what we could have ever experienced. It was a deeper walk. You know, we observed different people, different fellowships. We met wonderful Christians. I mean, the people that we met were born again believers. And a number of them were filled with the Spirit, and they were genuinely loving God. But we found out in a course of time that not all were hearing the same thing. In fact, we found out that when we began to hear about the tabernacle and about the kingdom of God and things, and we began to share with these others, we came up against a wall of opposition. Hallelujah. And it was a test for us. What would we would believe? And you know, it was a marvelous thing, because God brought us faithful brethren that began to teach the Word of God through the tabernacle, began to teach us about the deeper things of God. Hallelujah. By that time that we met them, God had already filled us with this Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But one of the things that as I opened up the pattern and I began to read, and if you go and you look into the pattern, you look into the first couple chapters, you see this picture. Amen? You see the picture. And that your soul has four parts. You have a mind. You have your emotions. Do I have it right? Emotions on the left? Oh, man has desires, and he has a will. And that God is after the soul. Now, when we look into this parable, the five wise and the five foolish, it said that they all had lamps, right? Huh? Now, God makes man a three-part being, that they all have a spirit, huh? Now, in the place of a virgin, because even unsaved people have three parts. Isn't that correct? Huh? Yeah. They have three parts. But what makes a virgin different than just an unsaved person? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now remember, now let us look at the picture of the tabernacle. Where is the baptism of the Holy Spirit represented? Well, it starts in the brazen laver, where we have the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the baptism into Christ. So when we look at the tabernacle, that's where virgins are born. Huh? Because now they're filled with the Spirit. So when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen, how many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay, how many? Raise your hands up high. Amen. All right, how many of you question that are in need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. Some of you desire it? Well, we need to pray for you. You know, and if you are wanting the Holy Spirit, Allison and Vivi, and I saw Sam, we can pray and we can believe God this week that God's going to fill you if you desire it. So when God comes in the Holy Spirit and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into our soul. Is that correct? A few no's? Right? And into our spirit. Okay, I was just seeing if you guys are awake. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, comes into our spirit. Why our spirit? Because it's an uncontaminated place. It is a place that is not defiled. Hallelujah. So the five wise and the five foolish all had the same thing in common, right? One, they were virgins, they were born again. And two, that they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it says that they had lamps with their spirit, but it says that the five foolish, let's look there. It says that in verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And when you go into the scriptures, and I won't go into all that, I'll leave that up to some of the teachers, but when you go into the vessel is symbolic of your soul, all right? So your soul would be the vessel. How do you spell vessel? V-E-S-S-E-L or A-L? E-L. Your spirit would be your lamp. Amen. So all the virgins had oil in their lamps, but not all of them had them in their vessels, because it says the foolish took no oil with them. Let's go back to this picture of the soul. The thing that spoke to me when I was a very young Christian was it became a revelation or understanding that the soul was the thing that needed to be changed. Hallelujah. It says, what does it say in Hebrews? We are not like those that fall back to perdition, but to those that believe in the saving of the soul. Right? Hallelujah. And, you know, when we look at the picture of the soul, that's what you and I are. Huh? Now, I look out, I see Brother Mark. I've known Brother Mark for what, Mark, 40 years? I know who Mark is. I know his size. I know his personality and everything. But what Mark represents is not just what he looks on the outside, but what he represents on the inside. The way that Mark thinks, the way that Mark desires, the way Mark, his emotions are, his will. In the same way for you and for I. Huh? We all have certain thoughts, huh? You know, and there can be good thoughts and they can be bad thoughts. Right, Lily? Huh? How many of us have to fight evil thoughts? Huh? Fallen nature thoughts. Hallelujah. You know, without God, it's impossible. Without God, there's no way we can be changed in our soul. There's no way without God coming in, that can remove this fallen nature in my mind. Or, let's say, our emotions. Hallelujah. The way we feel. Huh? Some people are very strong emotionally. Some people, you don't even feel like they have an emotion. But you still have an emotion even though you don't exhibit it. The problem is, whether you're on one extreme or the other, we are fighting a fallen nature in our soul that God wants to come into. Hallelujah. His whole purpose in which He saves us is to make us to be like Him. Hallelujah. Brother, pray for me. I got a long ways to go yet. I got a long ways to go in my soul. But I know. I mean, you can come and tell me all day long, but I need the Holy Spirit to come to me and to speak to me and to begin to change me. How does that happen? Except for I need to invite Him in. Huh? Here's where the wise takes over. Is the revelation and understanding that I need His presence in my soul. Hallelujah. To change me. Huh? To give me the mind of Christ. You know, I look out, I've seen many of you speak and walk, and that there is a certain measure in which the Spirit of God has come to your mind. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because of the conversations and the things that come to you. It's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And what about in our emotions? How many of us love it when we get the victory over our emotions? Huh? Don't we love it? The devil's there and he's wanting to push your button. Any of you have buttons that the devil likes to push? Raise your hands if you do. Huh? Just takes the right scenario, the right thing, the right individual. Sometimes some people can never vex you, and then there's some people that can vex you all day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, but if you're smart, if you're really smart, you will, what the devil means to harm, you're going to turn it to good. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, it says, all things work together to good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Isn't it marvelous the way we can come to an understanding of how God works? It's what we're doing is buying that oil into our soul so we can be changed. Hallelujah. I wish it was a day, only took a weekend, or maybe just a conference. No. My God, no. For me, it's been 35 years. Conference, I've got one more. And then all of a sudden you go out and then you get confronted with the very thing that you said, oh God, I want to serve You wholly. Oh, then the devil's waiting to want to challenge us to see if what we meant is true. But it's the getting the all right, now so it's getting the Holy Spirit into our soul. So all of us that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we have the Holy Spirit in our spirit, right? The important part now is to submit to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Because see, by obeying the Holy Spirit, God is not only filling our souls, but He's also baptizing us into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why the operation of that order is in the holy place, our communion with God. And when we talk about inviting the Holy Spirit or allowing the Spirit into our soul, it's got to be an invitation. You know, someone said to me one time that the Holy Spirit is like a gentleman. He will never force himself into a place. He's not going to force himself into your soul. That's why you can be a foolish all the day long if you want to be. If you don't open up your heart, you can just be a foolish bride. And you know, I can tell you another thing. Even this conference here, God's Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's only going to come into this place as we are opening up our being to Him. Hallelujah. So really, the success of this conference is really upon us in our desire. Is that part of our soul, our desire? Right here? Huh? That the desire for God supersedes all other desires. Huh? What's the scripture for it? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. The problem that we have as the people of God is that we change our priorities and we give way to all the things that want to weigh us down. Huh? That's why the Bible says, it says to, that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Any of you dealing with besetting sins? Huh? Besetting sins. Family sins. Sins that want to put us into a box to label, this is what you are. And it doesn't say Son of God on it. Amen? Hallelujah. So the soul, brethren, this revelation of the soul, so simple and yet profound, for each one that God has given an ear to hear, that means that God is calling you to be part of not only what we call the first fruit company, the wise virgins. Because now we have an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is for. Can we say amen to that? What has God given us the Holy Spirit? If you talk to a Pentecostal, the Pentecostal will tell you, well, it's for the gifts of the Spirit, right, Mark? He'll say, well, you know, we can speak in tongues, and all those are manifestations. But the, you know, the very simple thing, you know, God speaks to me very simple, maybe because I need to be simple, but the Lord spoke to me and said, he says, the reason I give you the Holy Spirit is to make you holy, to make you like me. That's why God gives the Holy Spirit. So that as we imbibe or bring God into our soul. Hallelujah. You know, it's a funny thing. God gives us promises, right? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Isn't that true, Brother Mark? You know, David said, he says, if I make my bed in hell, you're there also. Huh? We can go outside of God working in our lives, live carnally, think carnally, and yet God still says, I'm there with you. Huh?
Amen.
How is He there with us? The Holy Spirit in our spirit. Brethren, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, do you think that one day if we're not thinking of God, that God takes the Holy Spirit out of our spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is there. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. He comes to fill our spirit. But the Spirit can only move as we open up our soul to God. Hallelujah. When I came into that and I said, my God, this is so marvelous. Look at brother, look up here. This is you. This is you, your soul, your mind, your emotions, your desires, your will. And God's looking at you and He's seeing your soul. Hallelujah. He's given us a body, but we become a living soul. And when we become a living soul, God is wanting to come into us to make Himself manifest in us. Hallelujah. In our thinking. Huh? How many of us need Him in our thinking? How many of us need Him in our desires? And in our emotions? Don't you get tired of the devil ruling over us? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I'm saying that, I'm thinking about the Israelites, you know. God was bringing them into the promised land. And yet, every time they fell away, God gave them over to their enemies. Until they cried out to the Lord, right? You know, this is why God just doesn't change us completely. It's because there has to be a work in our soul that we have to kick out. We have to remove the enemies of our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the prize. The devil is after our soul and the Holy Spirit is after our soul. Hallelujah. But again, He's like a gentleman. He will never come in unless He's invited. Huh? That's a gentleman. Right? We need to invite Him into our lives. And so when we see this parable of the five wise and the five foolish, it's verse 3 says, they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. That means that there's a foolish virgin company that is not, they have been filled with the Holy Ghost, but that they do not submit to the Holy Ghost automatically puts them into the foolish company. Hallelujah. But verse 4 says, but, thank God for but, right? Huh? We'd be in trouble if it was just, well, the foolish took no oil. It says, but the wise, it says, the wise took oil in their vessels along with their lamp. They took oil where? Into their soul. And you know, it's, when we look at it, we know that it just wasn't a one-time thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time thing. But the taking in into the vessel is something that has to become a daily inculcation or an imbibing of the Spirit of God into our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. It has to be daily. Hallelujah. Where does it say in Scripture, daily? Come on. Yeah, there you go. And what does it say? It says, if any man desires to be my disciple, he must, what? First, deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily. Hallelujah. How many of us can do a better job daily? Few of you? Are the rest of you, are you mighty overcomers? Huh? I think all of us can do a better job, can't we?
Yes.
Or is there anybody here who says, I've done the best job, I don't need to do anymore? Okay, nobody's raising their hand. So we're all in the same boat, right? Sort of like the disciples were in the boat together. We're like in the boat together, brethren. What would bring us from the four corners of the earth to come down to Burnet, Texas, to gather here, except for the Spirit of God? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it says, the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Has the bridegroom been tarrying?
Yes.
Has he been tarrying?
Yes.
Huh? Mark, when did you first think that Jesus was going to come? Huh? Back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That Jesus is coming. That means he's tarried, hasn't he? What about you, Brother Bert? Huh? Didn't we have that Brother DeSeal wrote, well, the sons are going to come. God are going to come about 1970. Well, he tarried. He tarried. And for you and me, we thought when we first got saved, Jesus was coming. I was scared as a young Christian. I thought, I'm not ready, God. We went to Rockford, 1982. I was saved a year and a half. And I'm sitting there, my God, you're coming, you're coming. Why didn't I get saved when I was 15? I got all this garbage when I was up to 27 years of age. God, I need more time. Hallelujah. He gave more time. Guess what? I'm still saying I need more time. And he's given me a lot of time. Pray for me, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says that while the bridegroom tarried, what? They all slumbered and slept. Now, it's interesting when you look at the word slumber and you look at the word slept and you look it up, one is sort of like in a half stage or in it starting to fall asleep. The slept means that you're in a full stage of sleep. Hallelujah. And the interesting thing was, it was all the virgins were slumbering and sleeping. Huh? All of them were. Hallelujah. How many of you ever felt like you've been sleeping? Huh? Come on.
Slumbering.
Huh? Dull? we need to be awake.
Awake.
Hallelujah. And it says here, while they all slumbered and slept, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Hallelujah. At midnight, a cry was made. Well, where did that cry come from? Where did it come from? Cry was made. They were all slumbering and sleeping. If they're all slumbering and sleeping, who gave out the cry? The watchers. Huh? The ministry that God ordained. It says that the fivefold ministry, what is it in Ephesians, were given for what? The perfection of the church. Huh? Huh? So a cry is being made. Now it's interesting when you go look at that word cry, it wasn't just a single cry. It was an ongoing thing. Huh? That cry has been going out for many, many years. It keeps telling us, don't sleep. Huh? Wake up. Hallelujah. Wake up. Church, wake up. Wake up. Wake up in 1973. Wake up in 1975. Wake up in 1980. Wake up in 1990. Wake up, wake up. He's coming. Hallelujah. Midnight's here. Darkness is here. Hallelujah. What does it say in Isaiah? It says, and darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. You know, back in 1970, we thought it was dark, 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 dark. You know, I read a book with Leonard Ravey at one time on a missionary trip, and he wrote it in 1967 or something, and he was talking about the darkness and the wickedness on the earth, and I thought it was just written in the last year. He was seeing the darkness that was back in the 1960s. It was covering. He was talking about the abortions and everything that was going on. That was 5 years before it was even legalized. And he was talking about the darkness, dark. And my God, something needs to wake us up. Because that darkness has been manifested or has been multiplied. Hallelujah. Come on now, think of it in God's terms. God looks out at the face of the earth and He sees all of the darkness. He sees all the murders and the killings and everything. But look at it from 1973. How many millions and millions and millions and millions and billions of children are being killed? Hallelujah. And it becomes such, you read it all the time, but we become, we become anesthetizer. What is it? We become, what's another word to it? Desensitized to the very darkness around us. And the world is being that way, but it should not be in the church. Hallelujah. The church needs to be alive. It needs to be functioning. It needs to be growing and manifesting the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. But it can't because we're still slumbering. We're still sleeping. And the cry is made, wake up! Wake up! Hallelujah. The bridegroom cometh. We're giving an opportunity, brethren. The bridegroom is coming. You know, one of the things that's always scared me the most was that all my life that I've been wanting God to come, but at midnight, that all of a sudden I find myself in the classification of a foolish virgin. I did not allow the Holy Ghost to work in my life. I did not allow Him into my thinking, into my desires, my will, and my emotions. And God will go, foolish virgin. He passed me up because I was not diligent. Hallelujah. And you see, brethren, it's an ongoing thing getting the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, into our soul. Into our soul. Every day we are being given an opportunity whom we're going to serve. Submit to the Spirit or give way to that fallen nature, to that demonic nature that wants to put an imprint upon our souls. Hallelujah. And you know, it's not just people that are unsaved that you see of a beast nature. I've seen Christians become of a beast nature. I've seen the spirit. Brother DeCiel used to teach. He says, can a Christian have a demon? He says, yes. You can have whatever you want. Because see, if you don't submit to the Holy Spirit, you're not just being neutral. You're going one way or the other. Huh? You have to, I'm trying to think of that man, that singer, big famous singer. He was a Jew, Guthrie or what? Arlo Guthrie. You know, he got saved. Back, not Arlo Guthrie, what's his name? Bob Dylan. Yeah, Bob Dylan. And I believe he was a Jew, wasn't he? He was a Jew. And at one point, and he was very big into rock and roll. But somehow, he came across the Word of God and supposedly had a born-again experience. He actually made an album. He made an album where he was making rock and roll albums. All of a sudden, he made a Christian album. And the whole rock and roll world was in an uproar. And one of his songs was, "You Have to Serve Somebody." He goes, you're going to have to serve either the devil or you're going to have to serve God. But you're going to have to serve somebody. We should pray for him. Because the devil got at him. And the man turned away from the thing that he had. Just went further into his rock and roll thing. I mean, that's the power of the devil. Do you ever fear how the devil can have such a power over Christians? Hallelujah. We talk to brethren, we put on old videotapes and we go, oh man, look at the spirit. But then we look around, we go, where are all these people? Huh? The devil's done a good job to come to rob of the seed. Come to destroy the fertile ground of God wanting to make a son of God. Hallelujah. That's why, brethren, I can't ever get away from this revelation right here on the soul. I cannot. I cannot. Why can't I not? Because it's a revelation that has been given to the church of the end time. Hallelujah. It says that knowledge will increase. Also, knowledge will increase for the sons of God. And, brethren, isn't that a foundational truth in our lives? Hallelujah. That our souls need to be changed. Huh? Amen. So we see here in this parable of the 10 wise virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And it says here, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. And the cry was, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Huh? The bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. And you know, when you look again, it's not just a one-time thing. God's been coming and coming and coming. Hallelujah. He came to me, and he's been coming to a lot of people before I was even saved. He's coming. Come on, brethren. He's coming. Hallelujah. Right now, he's coming. Right now, in this meeting, he's coming. Hallelujah. Some of you are in a valley of decision. Some of you are facing the power of the devil to want to tear you away from the plan and purpose of God in your life. He's coming. You have to solidify. He's coming, and you want to make yourself ready. Amen? Yeah. So it says, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him. Now that meet means it's an encounter. Hallelujah. And again, it's not a one-time thing. Every time we meet with the presence of the Lord, we get a little more of God inside of us. Huh? A little bit more. We should be growing. We should be maturing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't want to be pygmies. Well, no. Well, that's a word. Maybe it's not political correct, but maybe stunted growth. Huh? Small people. Small. What? Dwarfs. All right. Is that political correct? It doesn't matter. They're small. Small people. Hallelujah. We want to be spiritual giants.
Yeah, the word dwarf is in the Bible.
Dwarfs, okay. We don't want to be dwarfs. It wasn't a dwarf couldn't go in to minister to the Lord too?
One of the 12 things.
Right. One of the things that disqualified themselves. Hallelujah. You know, I had a dream one time back, it might have been 12 years ago. We were down in Muhammad. And most of you know Muhammad in the downtown area. You know, it's sort of funny. Most of the buildings, I think the tallest building in Muhammad is 3 stories, right? They always had sort of a laugh because they got so much money in the fire department, they bought this big hook and ladder that could go up 7 or 8 stories. Well, the tallest building is 3 stories. Hallelujah. They didn't know what to do with their money. But anyway, In the dream, I was seeing the downtown area. I was seeing people walking. And then I saw the brethren walking. And you know what the brethren were? They were the size of the highest buildings. They were giants. Hallelujah. Sort of like Gulliver's Travel. You know, a big, huge man walking the streets. And I knew that they were the brethren. Hallelujah. Come on. God's called us. He's chosen us. He's called us to walk as sons of God. There is a power and there is an authority that comes to us. Hallelujah. When we walk, I remember Brother Duccio says, when we walk in obedience, all heaven is walking with us. Come on now. Isn't that true? When we walk in obedience, all the agents of life are walking with us. Giving us the power of victory. Does that mean that our tribulation has changed? No. But that doesn't mean that we have victory over our tribulation? Yes. Hallelujah. For Jesus said, you know, what is, I'm not saying Jesus, I'm going to quote John. It says that about, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. That we can walk with God talk with God. That the presence of God is changing us. Brother Guido, you go to work, some people go, oh, that's Brother Guido. But you know what? God looks at you. And as you walk in obedience, the Spirit of God is changing you. Huh? You're there. We're there. And little by little, huh? The life of God is changing within us. And we're counted wise. Why? Because we're getting oil in our vessel. Huh? Oil in our soul. Oil in the way I think. Oil in the way my emotions work. My God. My God, I never realized how complex our emotions are. I thought they were simple. We can laugh, we can cry, we can get upset. But I'll tell you what, that's why it's equated like a lion. Huh? Oh, a lion's a beautiful creature, isn't it? Huh? The whole world marvels at a lion, but don't get too near it. Especially if it's hungry. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. And the Bible equates the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you ever know that we can devour one another? Huh? If we give way to devils, we can devour one another. I think that's the scripture. Then Paul said, be careful before, because you can bite and devour one another. And brethren, we got to wake up to the accuser of the brethren. In which he comes to our mind, accuses not only himself, but accuses one another. And we give place to the devil because of the way we might falter. If I falter and I give way, and the devil comes to someone and says, look at that George over there. See, I always knew he was like that. Huh? Is that the Spirit of God or is that the accuser of the brethren? Brethren, we got to come into a greater place and an understanding of the enemy we fight. We don't fight with one another. Hallelujah. We're to love one another. Hallelujah. I think you were talking about that this morning, Brother Bird, about the nature and character of Christ and how we have to move into that nature and character. Hallelujah. I think we still have yet to even go into the depths of what it is when we talk of agape love. To love the way God loves. Hallelujah. You know, to get that inside of us, that's talking about getting the Holy Spirit into our soul. Huh? That when I look upon someone, instead of agreeing with the enemy, I go, oh my God, save my brother. Save my sister. Help them in their hour of need. You know, that's why Jesus says, well, the part that he said to Peter, he says, or did Peter say, oh, it was Peter. Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Shall I forgive him 7 times? And the Lord says, truly, I say to you, 70 times 7. What's 70 times 7? 490. Has anybody you know personally has offended you 490 times in one day? Anybody here? That means then we're to forgive them no matter how. You know, if they trespass against us 100 times a day, we got to continue to forgive him. Peter was looking for a way out. Okay, Lord. Bolster, I can forgive him. Don't go more than 7. You do 8. You're in trouble. Hallelujah. There's something about the nature of God, brethren, that God wants to change you and I. And I'm far from it. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need the nature of Christ. I need the Holy Spirit in my soul. Hallelujah. We're talking midnight. Right, Brother Jajoki? Midnight. That God's appearing. What if midnight's tomorrow night? Are you ready? Well, let's go a little closer. Tonight. Huh? Are you ready right now? Are you ready? Are you ready for God to say, foolish or wise? Huh? We got a long ways to go. We got to cry out for God to do something within us. Hallelujah. So it says that the cry was made, and it said, the bridegroom cometh, go you out and meet him. And meet means a special type of union, an encounter with God. Hallelujah. We got to shake ourselves of even the lethargicness that wants to keep us earthbound. Hallelujah. That's why we have to give way to the anointing, brethren. We're still learning the anointing. Do you understand that? Do we understand? We're still learning the anointing. We still make mistakes in our meetings. Sometimes we feel, oh, this is God, and then it proves out it's not God. Hallelujah. You know, it's important that we learn from our mistakes so that we don't do them again. We don't want to move religiously. We want to move by the Spirit of God. The Word says those that are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. Hallelujah. How do we move by the Spirit of God? Well, we won't know His Spirit unless we imbibe Him into our soul. Hallelujah. Into our soul, into the way that we move, even corporately together. There takes a maturity to perceive the gifts even in our midst. Hallelujah. We were on a trip one time, Brother Mark. We remember I was on my back. We were in New York, and we're there. And God miraculously got me over there. I was on my back the whole time. But you know, God speaks. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and all of a sudden a thought came to me about the ministry of God, the true ministry of God. The true ministry of God has no personal motivations. They're not personally motivated. If they are called of God and submitting to the Spirit, they should be moving by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't just go and pick what you want to share with the brethren. You should be before the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Which brings another thought to me. And if I'm tearing too long, say, George, sit down. But the one particular dream, it was a three-part dream. And in this particular one, it was like a learning dream. And and the dream was that when we would go into our prayer closet with God, God would begin to speak to us. And we would go out of that prayer closet, we would begin to search out the word that God spoke, and then we would give it to the people. And the dream said it became food and life to the people. See, brethren, on my best day, I can't know what's good for you, Sister Mary. I have no idea what's deep down into your soul. Only God knows that. But you know, when people move under the anointing of God, when the Spirit of God is flowing. I remember in India, I always used to be afraid to get up. Because when I'd get up and speak, I'd always be nervous. Didn't know what to say. And I remember one time we were in Madras, and I got up and I started to minister out of John 17. I got somewhere, and all of a sudden I looked out and I see all the people's faces. And you know what I did? I sat down. I got scared. But you know, Brother DeSeal said something to me. He says, you know, it's not in your ability. He says it's not in the ability of how you form words. It's the Spirit you come to people. Hallelujah. Now remember, the Word says that it talks about, and the Spirit, the words that I speak, they are Spirit and their life. If we're led of the Holy Spirit, that means that there is something that's going out to you, Brother Mark, and to you, Sister Nancy, to you, Sister Mary, to you, Brother George, at the same time. And it may not even be what I'm saying, but the Spirit of God is moving and touching you. Hallelujah. That's why you can get up and testify, and someone says, this is what God spoke to me. This is what God spoke to me. And it could be very different things, because the Spirit of God is not bound by man. Or the thoughts of man, he moves in the realm of the Spirit, because he knows what each one of us are going through in each moment of our lives. Today, right now, brethren, he knows everything about each one of us. He knows everything about what we've prayed. He knows all of our shortcomings and our expectations, and he moves. Because if he sees that you have a desire and a willingness, he's going to move to continue to work to make you a son of God. Hallelujah. Do you know what? How many of us want to be ready at midnight? I'm going to tell you something. God wants you even more ready than what you desire. Because he puts it in your heart to do it. Do you think if he births sons that he does not have an expectation? He has a marvelous expectation. Okay, let's finish up this parable. It says that after the cry was made, the bridegroom cometh, Go ye out to meet them. It says, then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. Huh? The trimming is cutting off the wick. And it says here, they all went to trim their lamps, but something happened here because the foolish get a revelation. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Give us of your oil. Hallelujah. Brethren, it's not going to be a pretty time at midnight. It's going to be a time when Christians are going to be finding out that they didn't make it because they were foolish. They found they didn't have it at the time they needed, and they wanted to grab on and say, brother, give me some of your oil. Give me your oil. Stacy, give me your oil. Huh. You're a nice lady, aren't you, Stacy? You'd give, wouldn't you? But the Bible here says, it says, but the wise answer saying, not so. I can't do it. Why can't you do it, Judy?
Because it wouldn't be enough for me.
It wouldn't be enough for you, and also you're not the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not enough for you. If I give you, I'm not going to have enough. I need just enough to get me in. Hallelujah. So it says here, the wise answered saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. I can't give you what God has given me. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Isn't that a strange thing? Go ye yourselves and go and buy for yourselves. Who do you have to buy Holy Spirit from? The seller. You know what the seller is? Tribulation. The only way you're going to get Holy Ghost is by being tribulated. Hallelujah. Because in that tribulation, now remember, what does it say in Romans? It says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Why? Because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which He has given unto us. You see that? It's how we're buying it now, brethren. We're buying it through the tribulation of our day. How do we respond? How do we open ourselves up to God? How do we walk as the nature of God? That makes the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins. Amen? Amen. And so, it says, and while they went to buy, now here's the problem. They didn't have time left to buy. That time was up. Huh? They went and bought. They came back, but it was too late. The door was already shut. Because it says that, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, did you hear that? They that were ready. How many of us want to be ready? Did we sing that song tonight? I will be ready, Lord. I will be ready, Lord. Huh? It says, and when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Hallelujah. Midnight. The time when Christ comes into us without measure. Hallelujah. In fact, it's the time of the operation of the sons of God for the 3.5 years ministry upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Can you imagine, brother, am I being too long? I'm sorry. I just want to finish up just saying what I'm saying here. Can you imagine, Judy, what would you pay for Christ to come in to you without measure? Would you give all? Everything in your life? I would. Christ coming into me without measure. The fullness of Christ coming into my thinking, my desires, my will, my emotion. When you look at me, you would no longer see George Herrick. You would see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in this temple. Hallelujah. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we are crying out for? Hallelujah. So midnight's coming. And it says that when the door was shut, and afterwards came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. It's going to be a sad day, brethren. A very sad day. Very sad day. And some of us could be counted among the five fools. I hope none of us are. I hope none of us are. But I know that if I'm not diligent, I could end up being the door shut and pounding on that door. Lord, open up to me. Hallelujah. But he answered and said not. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. That know is that intimate relationship we are to be cultivating with God. If you don't have it up to midnight, that's why you're excluded, because you did not know him in the opportunity that God gave you to know him. It says, now here's the admonition to us. Hallelujah. There's still hope. Midnight has not yet fully come. So it says here, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Could come tonight, brethren. Are you ready? Could come tomorrow, next week. Are we ready? Then we have business to do. Amen. And let us ask God for his mercy this week as we're here. Let us ask God to do something that brings us into a totality of what he has called us for. Huh? It's not a light thing of this revelation of the soul. It's not a light thing for God to call us as virgins so that we might be wise. In fact, he's giving us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we may be changed and come into the fullness of God. Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen.
Brother George?
Yes.
May I just comment?
Yes, sure.
Very, very quickly.
You got a hold of one of my favorite words here, and that is the word meet.
And if I might, I'll try to be quick. I'm not going to be long. The word meet is, I think the Greek word is apentesis. I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sure. And what it means is, George was talking about our soul, where we live. Amen? Our temple. Is this okay to call it our temple? We are the temple of God. Amen? And he wants to dwell. So here, we'll call this our house. Amen? And what the word meet means is not that we go out and we meet someone, okay, and then we go our way, and then they go their way. That's not this word. What this word is that we go out from a place that we began, that we meet a person coming from, shall we say, the opposite direction, and then we take them back to where we started. In other words, we are meeting Christ. This word is found only three places in the New Testament. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says that we will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. And you understand how this absolutely cannot in any way apply to a rapture description. The rapture says that he's coming from a direction and taking us with him. Completely opposite. We will go to meet him, which means that he is coming to dwell with us, to tabernacle with us. The other place that it's used is in Acts chapter 20, where Paul, having been shipwrecked, and it's the last chapter of Acts where it says that Paul finally landed on the shores of Italy. And when the brethren of Rome found out that Paul was coming, they went out to meet him at the place of three taverns. And what was the other name there? Appian something or other? Yeah. Appian Way and Three Taverns. They went out to meet Paul. And what did they do? They brought Paul back to Rome to the place that they had begun. So I think that goes right along with what George was saying here about the soul. He was asking us, don't we want the fullness of Christ to come in to where we are? Amen. God bless.